Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You pick the music on the Way Back Wednesday, 913-586-7610. Please include your name.
Always good to hear from Raj down in the Ozarks, who wanted to hear Joe Walsh this morning. Here's a little Life's Been Good.
Some of you have quit mid-shift from the 816. Left bar. F you, you're cool. I'm out at a mid-Friday night. From the 913, I used to work at a job that hired anybody. We'd regularly have people getting arrested mid-shift.
Oh, my God.
Quit my job at a hospital kitchen right before lunch, undressed at the time clock, and left my uniform.
I had a boss at the time that was that moved to another city, and he had a radio guy arrested on the air. You may remember that story.
I do. For the 816, I quit a pizza place mid-shift. We got slammed with a busload of people. I was the only cook. We ran through all the dough and toppings. We're 20 orders behind when I said, out.
Out.
That's a pretty good one.
I am done here.
At my corporate desk job for the 816, we've had two people quit without notice. One texted the manager and never showed back up. The other just left a sticky note on their laptop on the manager's desk.
Wow, I'm out.
From the 720, I fell for a marketing scam that hires new college grads, but don't tell them it's door-to-door sales until your first day. After the first house, I lied and said my grandma was sick and left.
Yeah. A lot of those jobs that are too good to be true.
Probably are. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. No list, no money, no nothing. Here you go. Start knocking on doors and sell rebar.
Oh, we didn't tell you this was? Yeah. Oh, our bad. Thought you understood that. No, I'm a marketing major, so I...
Right.
Marketing would be, could encompass a lot of things, including selling stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, sorry we didn't break that to you on the first go-round.
And then if you get your friends to sell under you, you can make even more money.
Yeah, just get them to go along with it. So, J.J. Piccolo was with Cody Gold yesterday. Check out the full interview, 610sports.com or the Odyssey app. But in terms of making a trade eventually, I have been kind of telling you about all these stories come out about the minor leagues, and there's a lot of buzz about the Royals minor leagues. They've all kind of gotten off to fast starts and playing well as a team and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, good. That's what you want. You want those?
Yeah, get them good and trade them.
Get maybe there's some trade bait out there. But they asked JJ if he feels they could be in a spot potentially to make a trade down the line if there's enough in the system.
Yeah. No, we're not going to be too worried about that. I mean, we have to make a really solid evaluation of where we think this club is, a realistic evaluation. You know, right now we feel good about where we're at. If we feel good in a month or 2 months, we got some time until the trade deadline. Your farm system is there to help your major league team, whether it be those players coming up or acquiring other players. That's what your farm system is there for. So I'm not going to be too worried about you know, where the industry or where the publications think our farm system is. We know we have good players. We know we have players that other teams would want. So we're not concerned with that. You know, you always want to be healthy with your farm system. But if you're making a move to help the major league team, that's ultimately what this is about. You know, our fans want to see our major league team win. You know, they pay attention to our farm system, but they want to see the major league team win. So that's where our motivation will lie, and we won't be deterred because of where our farm system may or may not be.
Bravo.
Yeah.
You read the pulse of the fans.
Mm-hmm.
They pay attention to what's going on in the minors, but they want our major league team to win.
Right.
And that's what we're supposed to – yes. Love that philosophy.
That is a great answer.
I love that philosophy.
And that is the right answer. That's what teams do. You use your minor leagues to get better at the big league level. Maybe it's a guy that comes up, or maybe you trade multiple. I saw a stat from a friend of mine who works in the game this morning, and he said about 95% of these guys that get drafted never make it to the big league level. So why are we holding out for that extra 5% that they may make it to the big league level? People have got to stop falling in love with prospects. Prospects, as the commercial for Mad Dog Baseball on the Odyssey app says, prospects are suspects until they become major leaguers. And if 95% of the guys that you're drafting never make it to the big league level, what are we doing here? Let's get rid of these guys. Use these guys, swindle somebody, foist them on another team, get proven big league talent back in return and win at the big league level. Who cares about prospects? We got to stop living in that world of, ooh, the hope and the dream and all this nonsense that we've been fed for about 40 years in this town. Let's just look at, is this guy going to help us at the big league level, or can we trade him to get a guy that's going to help us at the big league level? That's how it has to look.
That would be great. All right, our conversation with Chiefs general manager Brett Veach. Full disclosure, we talked to him before the latest Rashee Rice story broke yesterday. But he did address a possible suspension a little later in the interview based on the first incident.
That's right.
So
this guy's got two incidents now. Like, my God.
Yeah, so it's gotten a little bit dicey. But anyway, he does address what they're preparing for, but it was ahead of yesterday's latest story. Got it? Cool. All right, so our conversation with the GM of the Chiefs.
And I think the most important question for me, Brett, is why didn't we get Marvin Harrison at number four?
We tried. Listen, we tried many different ways, and we got shut down, and we had to regroup and regather, but I think we did okay. But I do apologize to you, Bob, and just want to let you know that it wasn't because of a lack of effort on our part.
Honestly, though, Brett, what would it taken to get up to number four? I mean, to go from 32 to four, how difficult would that have been, or maybe not difficult to do something like that?
Well, I think there's a price for everything, right? But I think for where we are and what we're trying to do and how we're trying to keep this thing going, it wasn't realistic for us. And those draft charts work in different ways, but typically on every team's draft charts, the first round, the point differential is so big that, I mean, it was taken, I'm sure, multiple ones and multiple twos and probably players. And it would have taken a ton of resources that we really didn't have at this point to move. But good player. But again, I think we've shown over the past few years that we can get creative and how we construct this roster and find different ways to win football games. And, you know, I think that was the plan coming into this offseason and this draft, and, you know, just proud of the guys for the way they put together a plan, both again in the offseason and in the draft. So looking forward to getting these guys out here as one unit. We just had the rookies in here the last few days, liked a lot of what we've seen. And then again, the vets are out here now, and looking forward to the final phases here. We can kind of blend both these groups together and get ready for St. Joe's.
Take us behind the curtain of that a little bit. When, I mean, you know a lot of stuff that's not reported, and you're hearing obviously from teams and things that aren't out there. But when the news comes out or whatever that so and so is looking to or fielding calls to move out of a pick, do you at least make a cursory phone call? How does that process work? Even if at the higher stages of the draft, where you know, like say, to get to four, it would take this, and this. You make that phone call to find out exactly what someone's looking for?
No, typically not. We have our own game plan, and I think when we came into the opening night of the draft, we looked at all the historical boards, and every team uses different boards, but we looked at where we are and what we can do. And I think going into Thursday night, our game plan was we targeted a handful of guys with the ability to potentially get up into that 22 to 24 range as a starter. So anything higher than that 22 to 24, you're looking at twos either this year or next year. And we had decided that our threshold may be a three, or potentially combining that three in the Snead trade. So a three this year and a three next year. And if you look at any chart across the league, I mean, I think both threes would have got you up to maybe 2021, somewhere around there. So that wasn't our ideal move, to move a three this year and a three next year. That was maybe the max limit we had. So really, we just focus in on about pick 24, 25. That would be kind of the target area for us if there was a guy that we liked to move up there, and let the draft play out and start to lock in and get focused once you got around pick 17 or 18.
Talking with Chiefs General Manager Brett Veach here on 610 Sports Radio. And, you know, we kind of joke about, oh, my God, Buffalo took your phone call. Like, that's a rival, and they let you get up and get the guy that you wanted. Do you dial *67 when you're calling these teams now so they don't see it's from Kansas City and they have to answer because they don't know who's on the other end? I can't imagine there's a lot of teams that want to do business with you guys these days.
No, we don't. I think when you're on the clock and teams are on the clock, I think it's beneficial they know who's calling so they can pull up your picks right away and quickly calculate what their board say so they can have a counter to whatever you're proposing. But, you know, I think for the most part, over the years, it's always been kind of AFC West teams, and that's kind of been an unwritten rule. It's hard to deal with those teams. And then there's historically teams that just don't do a lot during the draft. And I think Pittsburgh and Cincy are kind of those two old-school teams that they don't do a lot of moving. But I'm sure you do have some of that AFC rival and potential playoff matchup. But I mean, listen, credit to Buffalo. They do a great job, and they have a great team. And they went in there, focused on their team and how they want to construct and build that team. And I don't think that they were necessarily worried about us in regards to what we're doing, because we're on two different game plans, and both game plans have been successful, and they're sticking to theirs. And I think that trade made sense for them. That's why they did it, and it made sense for us, and that's why we did it.
It seemed like the consensus from, I would say, the quote-unquote experts, like all of us, like that the Chiefs' needs were wide receiver, offensive line, and defensive back. You come out of the draft and have pass catchers, offensive linemen, and defensive backs. Were those distinctly your three maybe biggest needs? And you got to be pleased with kind of nailing all those spots multiple times.
I think going into the draft, we're always going to focus on the O-line and D-line, and you know, certainly quarterback was right up there. So I think if you took a step back and just looked at our roster, I certainly think that we need the competition at left tackle, and we always need to get depth on the defensive front. And then, you know, certainly receiver is something that we're always going to be looking at every year with drafts, with Pat having it, the success he's had over the years. So it was a successful draft for us because, I mean, we had those needs. And, I mean, look, these guys have to come in here and they have to continue to grow and develop and show that they can make plays and help us win on game days. But when you're picking last in every round, it's hard. And, you know, you're at the mercy of other teams' decision in a lot of ways. And so that's why you do have to do some different things. And, you know, we did that multiple rounds just to make sure we got a receiver that we wanted and a tackle that we wanted. You know, it's very, very hard. I'm not a super patient person, so it's hard waiting at the end of every round to get exactly what you want. So I think to have those needs and then to come away with the draft and check the boxes off on a lot of those needs, knowing that we picked last in every round, was credit to the coaching staff for their work during this process with our scouts, and credit to the scouting staff and the personnel staff during the draft to just be able to get the board the way we wanted to and be able to maneuver when we needed to.
Well, and that brings up something like, I know you don't want to toot your own horn, but I have no problem doing that for you. You see all the draft like analysis. Oh, my God, the Chiefs nailed this draft. The Chiefs nailed the draft. The Chiefs nailed the draft. How do you guys as a staff continue to have success in the draft? Like some of these teams you see, they'll draft good one year, not so good the next year. Good one year, not so good the next year. You guys have been consistently good. How are you guys able to do that?
Well, I certainly think part of it is just the fact that we've been together for so long. I mean, this is a veteran staff really on the scouting side, and we've had some really talented personnel staff members move on the last few years. Ryan Poles went to Chicago and Brant Tillis recently went to Carolina. But a lot of us have been working together for a long time. So whether it be a Mike Berganzi, a Ryan Nutt, a Tim Terry, a Mike Bradway, now Chris Shea, we've been together for so long. I think when the schedules come out in the summertime in regards to the college schedules and when our guys can go in and out and visit and then working with our pro scouts on the pro schedule, it's just one of those things where there's not a lot of things that need to be added year in and year out. It's just a system that we put in place. I mean, 2013 here. So now, I mean, we're going on, you know, 2024. We've been here for a while. It's a system that we put in place from the beginning. And yeah, we've made some tweaks along the way and tried to refine things and make them better. But fundamentally, most of the big topic areas are things that have been in there since day one. And I think just from a scouting schedule in the fall for our college guys and a pro scouting schedule on the other side, I just think that it's a system that we're all comfortable with, we're used to, and we spend a ton of time together. Once the season ends, all of our staff, both college and pro, are together working on this college board, and then we bring in the coaches. And then I think, again, you know, the tenure that Coach and I have had over the years, I mean, we've been working together since 2006, 2007, and throw Spags in there, we've been working together. I just think it's the fact that we've worked together for so long, and we kind of know what the coaches want, and they leave it to me and my staff to find it, but it's a system that's been in place for a while, and it kind of runs very efficiently here.
Chiefs General Manager Brett Veach joining us here on 610 Sports Radio. Who does Xavier Worthy remind you of?
I'd like to say every player is a representation of, you know, what they are as a player. And I know Coach mentioned it just body-wise of DeSean Jackson, just because he is a taller guy that's lean but has tremendous playmaking ability down the field. So I guess just piggybacking off Coach Reed's word in his conference a few days ago, I do think that there's some resemblance there. Just, again, the body size is one that jumps out. And I think also, I mean, if you go back to DeSean Jackson's college days at Cal, he was a tremendous punt returner. So I think some of the things that DeSean did, Xavier did to a T in Texas, but from a size, length, body weight, special teams ability, downfield playmaking ability, I think that's probably the one that just naturally sticks out. But hopefully he can be the best version of himself and be uniquely different here with Pat Mahomes and Coach Reed.
How do you guys prepare not knowing what's going to happen with Rashee Rice? And what do you think is going to happen with Rashee Rice?
Well, I don't know. And we haven't been in contact. I mean, that obviously will get worked out on its own. But I think, listen, we prepare like we're preparing for a 20-game season, and I think that this situation aside, you have to attack the schedule as if you're going to have players not be in the lineup for various reasons. And, I mean, you never know what the situations are or what the injuries are. I mean, look, last year we lost Nick Bolton for 6 weeks. So I think that's just part of this whole process here of the offseason, free agency, the draft, just getting as deep a roster as you can get. And I know a few years ago, I think in 19 we won our first Super Bowl, I think we lost three defensive ends. So it's one of those things where, you know, you have to have depth at every position. It's a long season, and you know, and that's why going to St. Joe's now, we have to make sure we put a premium on competition battles at every position group. And you know, we'll get Hollywood out there, we'll get Xavier out there, and then guys that have lined up and played snaps in the past, the Sky Moores, Kadarius Toney's, Justin Watson's, and I think we'll also be able to complement, you know, with the tight ends a little bit better too. Now you have Travis and Noah, and we're excited about Jarrett Whiteley. So I think Jarrett will be able to provide not just a blocking presence with the size, but I think we've all seen what he can do at TCU in regards to the pass game and red zone stuff and intermediate target. And he's a big guy that can run. So I think it'll be the next man up mentality, and we'll work together in conjunction with the tight end group and always have a plan. And again, it'd be no different if we lost guys for various injuries throughout the course of the season. So having a deep team and having a deep roster is important. And, you know, hopefully we have the competition battle set the right way for St. Joe's.
Who is your left tackle? You talked about creating competition. Can Kingsley come in and compete for that in year one?
Yeah, absolutely. He can come in and compete year one. And I think, you know, he had a great rookie camp here. As I mentioned a few weeks ago, I think after the draft, I mean, we really like some of the things we saw out of Wanya last year, and it's his job to come back in here, and he'll have a little bit of a upper hand just having a year experience under his belt. But, you know, if he comes in here with the right mentality and takes that year experience and really utilizes that, you know, mental knowledge, you know, athletically, he'll have a chance to win that job. But again, it's our job to bring competition in here. And I think, you know, Kingsley has shown that just in a few days here that the big concept stuff wasn't too hard for him to grasp, and he did a great job. And I think it's going to be a great battle, but I think that's as a competitor, and I know both those guys are. I mean, that's what they should both want and relish, to go out there and see who can make the fewest mistakes and see who can go out there and make the plays when their numbers are called and execute. And you know, it's a pretty important position there, the blind side of Pat Mahomes. So, you know, we're looking forward to it. But, yeah, I mean, absolutely, I think he can come in here and win this job. And again, the cool thing is those guys get to to determine who the left tackle is, and it's going to be by the tape and, you know, the grading of their performance week in and week out that determine that. So, again, it's in their hands, and look forward to that battle.
I know you guys have pressure every year, Brett, to win the Super Bowl, and that's ultimately the goal, but this is different. This is the opportunity to three-peat. Which is, I guess, greater, the pressure to three-peat or the opportunity to go out there and three-peat?
Well, shoot, I don't know. I feel the pressure just getting our competition battle set at corner and safety set for training camp. It's one of those things where, and maybe I've done a good job of learning from Coach Reed over the years. I don't know if I ever think about Super Bowls or playoffs. And like even now, our guys are outside and they're warming up. I'm kind of looking through the mirror and I'm thinking, God, how can we get just a little bit better at any one of our positions? And you know, knowing that we've had a ton of success over the years and three Super Bowl wins in 5 years, it seems kind of crazy to even think that at this stage of the season, because, and every coach and every GM would tell you this, you just seem like you're so far off from where you want to be right now, and there's so much work to do, and you're trying to integrate all these new kids in here and trying to get them up to speed, and hopefully they can help you, and probably know that there's going to be at some point in the season where things aren't going the right way, and every year is different and unique, and it's a matter of having that leadership up top, and it starts with Coach and Pat, and we've been fortunate to have that. But I mean, look, just the opportunity to go out there and win another division title and hopefully bring the AFC Championship game back to Arrowhead would be awesome. I mean, all of these Super Bowl appearances and Super Bowl wins, they've been razor thin. The margins have been right there on the edge there. So, I mean, look, I think if we can just get through camp healthy, that to me is the biggest stress, you know, because I think we all feel like if we can have these young guys develop and keep Pat and some of the other guys healthy, we'll always have a shot. But the biggest stress for a GM is just to make sure the competition battles are set and make sure your starters stay healthy, and those two things, they don't always happen. So I would say that's the biggest stress I have right now.
Brett, we appreciate it, my man. Thanks.
Always, guys. Pleasure talking to you guys, and look forward to seeing you soon.
Brett Veach, the Chiefs general manager, with us here on 610 Sports Radio.
Again, addressed Rashi Rice before the latest story had come out about an incident,
right,
that he may be looked at for from this week, but discussed dealing with anything like an injury, suspension, whatever. You kind of deal with those as we know stuff's going to happen at some point during a year to somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You'd love to not have those situations, but the fact is those are stuff you deal with all the time and you always have to have contingencies. So,
and I thought it was a great answer too, Josh, yeah, because that's the way you have to look at it. And right now as a fan, if you're counting on or even thinking about Rashi Rice, change that line of thinking and pretend it's Mondesi. You're counting on somebody right now who, in my opinion, at the moment, yeah, can't be counted on. Yeah. And that's a terrible way of doing business. It's a good thing the Chiefs really don't operate that way,
couldn't
right?
Stay out of the news. Like, yeah, hey, I got to maybe I got to think if the room has enough depth at the moment.
Right.
So there are some available. There's free agents that are still available. We'll look at a few of them next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout,
15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So very good job there by Nathan, because you just got right to that song. Has such a buildup before the part that everybody wants, which
correct.
Is
correct. We would have waited until the next break,
which is the drum solo. Right. So he just went like start at the drum solo and go right.
Yeah, that's the iconic part of the
yeah,
song.
Yeah, it's yeah. The best part of the song. Well done, well done, Nathan.
I want to keep everyone here all day.
You picked the music on a way back Wednesday, pacing 913-586-7610. Please include your name so that you get the credit.
And nicely done to Caleb in Parkville, who wanted to hear some Phil Collins.
Oh, yes. Caleb, huh? Way to go, Caleb.
We'll talk to Matt Cottrero, Royals skipper, coming up at 9 o'clock. He'll join us for the weekly visit.
Going through the baseball cards a little early today, yeah, so yeah. I don't get called out. Yeah. And I'm coming across a couple of – I'll give you one right now. You tell me this guy right now here, Josh. 89 tops, Brian Harper.
Brian Harper was a – Atlanta Brave.
No, he was a Minnesota Twin. I thought that would be a layup for you. Catcher. I like Brian Harper a lot. He was on those championship teams.
I think I was thinking of Brian Hunter.
There was one. Yeah. Same year, 1989 tops, Frank Sweet Music Viola.
Frankie Viola was a Twin.
He was a Minnesota Twin. They did become a Met a little bit later on. Yep. In the later part of his career, so you could have gone with Matt, but you would have been wrong.
So we'll quiz the skipper. He loves this game.
Yep,
he's asked for this game. We're not even joking.
We didn't
do it one time, and he was like, "Why didn't we do that again?" So
you guys said you would do this every time.
We'll do the baseball card game with Matt Cottrero coming up. And also, apparently, it was caller Dave's fault last night,
and we'll
tell you why coming up in a few minutes. But we just had our conversation with Brett Veach. If you missed that, 610sports.com or the Odyssey app. But discuss the wide receiver room, right? It's still a big question. It's probably going to still be the biggest question. Mm-hmm. I don't think it would have been as big a question if not for Rashee Rice's offseason. But you could have said, you know, Rashee Rice for sure.
Had Rashee Rice acted like a normal human citizen this offseason, we'd be feeling pretty good going into it.
You'd be feeling pretty good about the room,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You'd have Ross or Rice.
Who?
Not Ross. I didn't say it. Yeah. I didn't say it. Some of you may say it. I didn't say it.
I don't know, Rob. I think Justin Ross is going to be the leading receiver for the team this year.
I didn't say it.
I think you're right, Carrington.
I did not say it. I slipped. So Rice, Brown, Worthy. You're still going to have
Tony.
Kadarius Tony.
You're and Sky Moore.
And then he also mentioned Justin Watts.
Watson.
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's I'm counting. That's just six right there from the jump.
That's exactly right. Yeah,
that may be all you keep.
Could be
right.
Could be.
They'll have some other names or whatever. But with now not knowing, I think they were planning for probably a suspension of Rashee Rice anyway. Now you have one more incident.
I don't think they were planning for as long as a suspension as James Palmer said it was going to be.
I don't think so. I don't think anybody there is planning for a half season or whatever. And I'm not saying that maybe allegedly slapping a photographer in a nightclub in in Dallas is going to warrant now the full suspension or extra suspension. But I'm saying it's just being in the news and it doesn't help.
No, you had that incident a couple of months ago, however long ago it was. Stay home till training camp.
I'm not even saying that because somebody said, how could he have been out after this, having this incident? I'm like, you do live your life. Right, now, do you make smarter choices? I would say hopefully. Mm-hmm. And do you keep your nose clean? I would say hopefully. And do you allegedly slap a photographer? Probably not.
Probably not. Not going to find yourself into trouble.
You hole up and don't do it. Don't live, your life or it. Just make smarter choices. And
yeah.
So there's now two incidents. So I think it probably behooves you. Like, okay, do we have enough? Mm-hmm. Did we have enough before? Maybe. Do we have enough now? I don't know. Got to keep looking. So Tyler Boyd signed yesterday with the Titans.
Yeah, that
was when I was like, I wish you could, $4.5 million.
Boy, why couldn't this have happened on Saturday with Rice?
I'm thinking, that'd have been nice. Like all these like little wide receivers, that'd be a nice ad. Maybe that'd be a nice ad.
Right.
So there's still some names out there.
There are, and I think when you look at the list, and I pulled this list from Sharp Football. SharpFootballAnalysis.com. They compiled the list, and it was just a quick list to see who was still available because I'm not tracking that in my leisure. And so I was having lunch with my friend Jim yesterday, and he said,
"Do your job."
He said to me yesterday because this came out, as we were sitting there having a nice salad, and he said to me, "Who's that guy that just got cut from Jacksonville?" I'm like, I don't know. I have to go look that up, right? Your mind just wanders, and it's Zay Jones, and he was cut like 8 days ago by Jacksonville, according to ESPN. That could be a sneaky nice ad if the Chiefs are looking to add a wide receiver because he was cut by Jacksonville. They drafted a young wide receiver, so they didn't really need him on the roster anymore. But when you're thinking about where we are, we're already at phase two or three of Del Boca Vista for this offseason program, right? So this guy's missed phase one, and then he maybe have missed phase two. But he also played last year for Doug Peterson and in that offense. And as we know, that Doug Peterson style of offense is very similar to what we do here in Kansas City. And so when you look at the list of wide receivers, it's not exactly, Josh, a who's who of wide receivers out there. Tyler Boyd, we crossed him off. Michael Thomas is on that list. I think maybe we've seen better days from him. Hunter Renfro's playing for the Royals right now. I don't know if he's willing to do, both.
The other one. I'm intrigued by having both Hunter Renfro's. I think it'd be funny.
That would be a lot of fun. I think it would be fantastic. You could have a split Chiefs Royals jersey with Renfro on the back. Think of all the possibilities, right?
Yeah, I just like it.
All right, Zay Jones, obviously, we just talked about him on that list. And then Mecole Hardman. And I like Hardman as well, but I don't know. I think Hardman will be there in July, I feel like. And if something happens and you need a guy at the last minute, maybe Hardman's available.
I am not interested in MVS coming back.
You kind of soured me on him. And then there's a bunch of guys with names you don't really know or guys who were good 10 years ago. So I think not that Zay Jones is some kind of guy that's going to come in and solve the world's problems, but when my friend brought him up yesterday at lunch, I'm like, that could be an interesting one if the Chiefs have to go outside the organization because they're not going to rely on Rashee Rice. So look at Zay Jones. That would be my kind of favorite of the bunch, if you will, Josh, now with Tyler Boyd gone and signing with the Titans yesterday.
All right. Royals fans, you're too damn nice. You're too damn accommodating. You're not helping in this situation.
Right.
We've had caller Dave who did help win a game. Mm-hmm. We had earlier this week, I think it was Lori in Austin.
Right. Lori in Austin. Yep.
She said,
throw strikes.
No, they were throwing strikes. She said, get the offense going
that.
And then the bats woke up and they won a game.
Right.
It seems like we may have lost the game in similar fashion last night.
Right.
So James MacArthur wore the brunt of it for giving up a 3-run home run last night to Willie Adames.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But you can't do that.
Can't do that in the ninth, right?
No position in sports is expected to be perfect like the closer. Can you think of another position?
But even
if he makes a mistake, we blame everybody
else.
That's
true. We do.
Well, the linemen were too tall and they got in the way.
Clearly wrong route.
Yeah, right, yeah.
So
because you know the routes.
Willie Adames hits the game-winning home run in the ninth, a 3-run shot, and he can thank Royals fans who were behind the dugout having fun conversations with him apparently the entire night, who told him to go hit a home run, and so he did.
No.
Are you kidding me?
No, you know, we were talking the whole game. They were talking. They were being friendly and, I was just having a good time with them, and they were like, "Oh, we want Willie," and I went close to them, and I was like, "Are you sure you want me?" And they were like, "Yeah, we want you to hit a 3-run homer," and I was like, "I bet, let me do it. If Gary take a wall, I'm going." And then I hit it, and I was like, oh, my God, that was the coolest thing I ever done, like, I ever experienced in my life. And, you know, we had a good time. Then I signed a couple balls for them, and, you know, we had a great time.
So thanks, Royals fans behind the dugout who are having a nice friendly chat with him.
Stop being nice to the opponent.
Hit a three-run home run. Oh, he did. Hey. And you got some autograph. You got some autograph stuff.
Yeah.
You cost us the game.
You did. What you got to do is yell behind the dugout to get the manager kicked out. That's what we asked you guys to do. Yeah. Not egg them on and cheer them on and say, go hit a home run.
Nice friendly conversation the entire time, and then he took you up on a go hit a three-run home run.
Right, they just showed it on TV. He high-fives, double high-fives a Royals fan sitting down there in the Crown Club. Like, what are you doing?
Come on. You cost us this one.
That is. Now, that legitimately is. I'm blaming the fan on that one. Yeah. That one guy.
So take the general off the hook.
Hey, you want to blame MacArthur? No. Nope. We're going to talk to Q about this coming up in a couple of minutes here.
Nope. Fans, don't be so nice. We're so nice in Kansas City. We're so accommodating Kansas City. Right. Look what happens.
Look what happens.
Got jacked a three-run home run and beat you. Don't do that again.
No.
So school.
You be mean.
School kids at the K today, don't be doing that stuff.
Yeah.
We had a caller on Vern last night that had another idea of what caused the meltdown. We should get to that maybe after Q.
Oh.
We've got the call saved.
Was that a deep tease?
Maybe. We have the call saved.
Well, I just don't know if we're up against the break here.
We do have the call saved. We do have the call saved. All right. I'm interested in that.
We'll do that after Medicue, but the Royal Skipper drops by for his weekly visit next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.